joined by the winning owner of tonight's race, Jeff Dickerson of Spire Motorsports. Jeff, we just heard, you know, Ryan kind of talk about, you know, the meaning behind this win with it being his first as a Cup crew chief, as well as Daniel's first win with the organization. Can you kind of just, you know, give some quick words in terms of what both of those sentiments mean to the broader team?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan hit it right there when he said it's been 215 races as a crew chief, and it did. We've had our chances, not as many as we've had this year. We've been pretty good, but we've had our chances to win some races, and we just figured out a way to fumble them or stuff it in the fence or just do something. So I'm really happy for Sparky, and because man, he works his ass off. And he never gives up. And, man, he spends every lap trying to make that car better. Always thinking. Him and Johnny have some really good chemistry on that 7 box. So, look, I'm just super happy. And obviously validating, you know, Daniel gets a win. And look, it's not lost on me that that was a shortened race by a few laps. But, you know, Daniel's had speed all year. That 7 team has had speed just about everywhere we've gone. You know, just heard they were 10th in points. So it's like, man, that 7 team is no fluke. And, man, he scored them on those last 2 restarts, too. You know, I thought Daniel did really well. He launched, you know, just crazy good. And just want to thank also, you know, Kyle for the shove. And here we are.
All right, we'll start taking questions. We'll start with Jordan up front, and then we'll go to Reed next.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You win today. Obviously, this weekend's been about Kyle Busch and the celebration. What does that feel like to win for somebody that obviously you're close to?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of it's also kind of strange, right? Because it's like when the rain first started falling. You know, I was you just find yourself thinking, you're just like, man, you know, you're just gonna get some text from him, right? It's just like, you lucky asshole. You know what I mean? Like, what are we? You know. I think not only is Kyle, I think, in the fabric of our place going all the way back to the MMI days, but certainly, you know, we're in that shop. A lot of his former employees, you know, came along. I hope it's rewarding for them, too. You know, it's been a tough couple of days there. It's still kind of hard to believe. I mean, I was for sure he was going to walk out of that place, you know. I mean, I'm still just I can't believe it. But it means a lot.
You talk about being an upstart, and you guys are still kind of building on this. You guys have as many wins now as Hendrick Motorsports this year.
I mean, I'm not going to say that to the boss. I
mean, we're actually going to go to Zach next, and then we're going to go to Matt.
I mean, he was super happy for us too. So,
Zach Sternhill, NASCAR.com. Jeff, on the Kyle Busch topic, what is his through line at Spire Motorsports? Obviously, you guys are based out of what was Kyle Busch Motorsports. What's the through line from your perspective in the legacy that Kyle left?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of the racing DNA I can trace back to that 5 team back in the day, and with Kyle, and Kyle had just a maniacal desire to win, and just set a high bar and just did not give a shit. You had to meet it, right? And you know, just had like this crazy curiosity. Like I remember being here, you know, Zach, I guess it's, I remember spotting him here, and we were following, I think we're following Harvick. This is like on the 5 team, and I just remember him like driving around telling Alan exactly where the track bar was on the 29, you know, how much, you know, rake was in it. Just, and you're just like, you know, only going like 200 miles an hour into the corner, but he was just like, man, he was just so gifted. But I think really it's that attention to detail and just that never being satisfied. And I know that I can be kind of a dick at the racetrack sometimes. And it's just like that, man, he just strived for perfection and you just had to meet it. And it just made everybody better, and he was just so maniacal about it. I think that's kind of that through line for all of us, I think, that worked with him along the way. I mean, I don't think that story's, you know, just original to me. I think anybody that ever worked with him on a race team or in business, right? Because, I mean, he just wants to know every detail. He wants to tell you how you're screwing it up and doing it wrong. And he just wants to know. But, yeah, I mean, I think the thing that, that carries on in our place and certainly at some of these other teams here, too, is just really just that high bar, and you had to meet it.
We'll go to Matt on the left, and then we'll go to John here in the middle.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. On the note of, you know, matching Hendrick this year in wins and referring to Mr. H as the boss, and Ryan called you guys still a small team, and all of that, throwing it into a blender, like, are you guys a small team? Are you a big team? Where are you guys at on the NASCAR hierarchy right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I said this to you at Talladega, Matt. It's just like, I just don't think we've hit our ceiling. I don't think we're hitting on all cylinders. I think that we've still got a long ways to go to, I mean, you saw it. I mean, I thought whether it was 1 through 5 or 1 through 6, it felt like most of the race was like every Toyota in the field. So I don't think we're there yet. I mean, Daniel drove his ass off on those restarts, man. And Ryan gave a great call. We knew that 7 was fast. But we're not, I think we're somewhere in the middle, you know. I mean, we got 175 people, you know, wake up every day, try to win these races. Obviously, you know, the help from Dan and Cassie Towers and Mark Walter doesn't hurt. You know, like, they also set a really high bar. You know, everything from them is always just, what do you guys need to win? I'm glad we could salvage the day for the DWG guys. I mean, it wasn't great in Indy, it wasn't great in Montreal. So I was glad that we can get them a trophy. But, man, it just feels like we got a long ways to go still. It feels like we can still stretch out. And I'm glad we're getting trophies. Our goal was to put 2 in the playoffs and get 3 wins this year. And with those guys 9th and 10th in points, still a long ways to go. I don't want to fumble it, but, man, it'd be good to meet those goals.
On the back to the note about KBM, you guys ran the KBM branding on the cars and the trucks, and obviously taking a trophy back to the shop. Whether it's short term or long term, have you guys started to kind of preliminary look through or work through ways to honor Kyle and KBM as some sort of like long term strategy?
I mean, it hadn't. I haven't talked about it. I mean, I think Bill and those guys have, but I mean, I haven't talked about it. I think you honor the, in a weird way, man. It's like we were honoring it before, you know, he passed. I mean, it was, again, it's just like, you know, that truck team, it's just like, man, we want to win every race. And, I think the legacy or just kind of like pay tribute to the legacy is just win some races, keep winning races. And we'll figure out the rest this week.
We'll go to John, and then we'll go to Don, then Jacob.
John Newby, FanBuzz. So back on October 22nd, you told me signing Daniel was a redemption story. It was a chance to prove that the number 7 was better than how it performed, and it was a chance for Daniel to prove that last year was an outlier. The way you guys have run this year, plus winning a crown jewel, is the redemption story complete, or where are we at with that?
That's a good question. It's a big moment. I mean, this is a crown jewel, you know, race. I never dreamed we'd, you know, when I'd love to tell you we thought we had him right where we wanted him when we were running 30-something or whatever. And, you know, he was chasing a vibration. It felt like, you know, the first half this race. It feels good. It feels good to win. Feels good to I'm happy for Daniel. You know, I mean, he's had a chip on his shoulder, but, man, he's really just, like, fit in with us. You know, he's been so good just being, like, the glue. You know, he's right in the middle. You know, you got Carson way over here and McDowell way over here. And he does a really good job as just kind of, like, uplifting everybody, asking the right questions. He also has, like, a really big curiosity on everything. And how about, John, the redemption story will be complete when we make the playoffs with that team.
Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Jeff. Don Hopkins with Front Stretch. I understand that you were in Indy this morning. Is that correct?
No, we didn't go because of the weather. And
didn't
all
go.
That. Yeah,
but
we've gone a couple times. Yeah,
right.
This week,
I know that Kyle had he wanted to do that race, and yep. You know, that was always something that he planned on doing.
Yep.
Did you guys ever have a conversation about that?
Yeah, he a couple ways, right? When I think he was working on a deal with McLaren, and so we talked about it, you know, through that. And look, I mean, he was in the building, right? He knew our partners had an IndyCar team, and we talked about it, you know, at least every winter, you know. But he was I think you guys know, he was super close. I think even maybe it was 2 years ago to really putting something together. It just kind of fell apart at the last moment. But yeah, of course, we talked about anything, everything.
We'll take a few more. We'll go to Jacob and then we'll go in the back.
Jacob Seelman, Steering Wheel Nation. Jeff, two for you. First, to follow up on something that Ryan said earlier when he was in here, he talked about the very first 600 of the next gen era where you guys tore up a whole bunch of stuff and everybody was sleeping in the shop. To go from that moment to this one, how much, you know, how gratifying is this moment given, you know, 3-4 years ago where you guys were?
Yeah, I mean, we crashed a bunch of cars and probably rung Corey's bell a couple times. I mean, we were lucky that our shop was right over here, right off the backstretch. But you guys see it. You guys have watched us kind of go through the struggles and all that. You know, I mean, I don't. It's super satisfying because Ryan, there's a lot of guys in that shop that was here when we were over at the old Kowicki building. So it's always I was really happy for them.
The company's building so much here on the NASCAR side, but you've made it a point over the past couple of months that you guys are building in all aspects of motorsports. Why has the Ascent mission and what you're doing, particularly in grassroots with sprint cars and with the short track stuff right now, been so important and so much of a passion project for you?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, it's there's a again, I don't think that story is kind of original for me in our team or even in this garage. I mean, we all started somewhere, and but you know, like the dirt track stuff's also kind of in the fabric of our building, right? I mean, we're part of the renaissance of Knoxville Raceway, and to watch that event and the Nationals be back, and you know, that's another crown jewel that I know all the Spire guys were all really happy for that. But the other part is, you know, like what High Limit did with that, with their own kind of charter system, we saw that as an opportunity. We got lucky that Jason Myers and those guys wanted to get off the road, and we put a bid in for it. I mean, we had it done pretty quick, just like this. A lot of people thought we were stupid, so we'll take our chances. But between that and then, you got a guy like Carson, he wants to race, right? And so running that dirt late model program and getting him out there, and you got to keep guys like that busy. They want to race, and look, you guys have seen him. The fan base is just kind of wrap their arms around him and support him. And again, some of those guys can't make it all the way to the Cup races, so we try to go meet them where they're at, and I think that's good for Carson. It's good for Spire, and I think it's good for NASCAR. All right,
go to the back now.
Hey Jeff, Evan Ludwig with Sports Radio WFNZ. You mentioned that you were at the old Kowicki building when Spire Motorsports first started. How special is it for you, A, to get the number 7 back into victory lane? And specifically, it's been nearly 30 years since the 7 won a race, Jeff Bodine's last win at Watkins Glen in 1996.
Jeez. Look, I mean, the 7's a big, I mean, it's our baby. It's our first, I thought it was like our first real, like, we're really trying effort. You know, we ran the 77, there over at Jay's for a while. And when we put that 7 on the racetrack, it was just like, man, we're really doing it. I wish I could say that the 7 number is my lucky number or anything like that, right? But it's, I think about Tommy Baldwin. I remember, when we made the call over there and asked Tommy if we could have the number. And you guys know Tommy, he was just like, yeah, just don't suck, And so, so Tommy, we did it. And, I didn't know that. I mean, obviously that's a big name with Jeff and certainly with Alan before that. So I hope it's not the first one or not the last one for the year.
We'll take one last question from Chris.
Hey, Jeff. Chris Gollin here with Above the Yellow Line Media. So coming into this season, Spire Motorsports was not yet a consistently winning team. And Daniel Suarez, while he had won before, was not necessarily looked at as like a lock to win in any given season necessarily. So once this pairing came to be, how confident were you that Daniel and the number 17 were going to win in 2026?
Yeah, I was confident that our organization was going to win this year. And certainly when we were talking to Daniel, you guys saw. I mean, we had plenty of opportunities to win last year. We were fast, you know, at several places. And I think that's what Daniel saw was you could see the potential and we knew in our four walls that we had the potential to win races. And, today makes it look like we knew what we were doing. But it wasn't too hard of a sell for Daniel just because he, you know, I think all the guys in that garage saw how fast we were. And if we could just put races together, we would have nights like tonight. And that's really what's cool about a win like tonight is our Achilles heel last year was execution. We just didn't execute. And today, when it mattered, Sparky made the right call, and Daniel drove his ass off, and that's what it looks like when you execute. And I think I told you guys at Talladega, if we can just keep doing that and execute, we will win races consistently.
All right, Jeff. Well, I appreciate you coming in, and congrats on the win.